7 premiers urge Justin Trudeau not to go forward with the planned April 1st carbon tax hike. The UK has banned puberty blockers from being prescribed for minors. More COVID charges have been stayed for men who were protesting the lawless and unscientific mandates. The Supreme Court of Canada celebrates its women and gender parity on the court while at the same time saying it is problematic to describe people as women. Our goal, as always, is to bring you news, culture, and politics from a distinctly Christian, conservative, and Canadian perspective. It's March 19th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. This is Liberty Dispatch News Brief. We want to remind everyone, make sure you sign up for the Politics in the Pulpit Conference. The conference will help Christians engage in the political and cultural spheres in effective and godly ways. Rather than keep politics out of the pulpit, Christians must speak boldly and clearly into Canadian culture and politics. So you can join us at one of three locations. We're going to be in Weston, Nova Scotia on April 20th, Ingersoll, Ontario on May 4th, and New Westminster, British Columbia on May 25th. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit and register today. Seats are limited, so secure your spot now. You can also email us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com if you would like to financially support and donate toward the cost of the conference. If you believe that this is valuable and needed in Canada, you can do that as well. Again, libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit. Register today. On Tuesday of last week, the National Health Service of the UK announced that it will ban prescribing puberty blockers for minors. Maria Caulfield, junior health minister for the National Health Service, said that this landmark decision would, quote, ensure care is based on evidence, expert clinical opinion that is in the best interests of the child, close quote. She also said that there was a lack of long-term evidence on what happens to young people who have puberty blockers prescribed to them, adding that the Gender Identity Development Service in the UK had not gathered routine and consistent data, meaning it was, quote, not possible to accurately track the outcomes and pathways that children and young people take through the service, close quote. NHS also called for an independent review of so-called gender identity treatment for minors due to the skyrocketing number of referrals to the Gender Identity Development Service. In 2012, there were 210 referrals. By 2015, that number grew to 1,400. And in 2022, there were 3,585 referrals. That's an increase in gender identity referrals of 1,700% in just over 10 years. That is a statistically significant increase that is probably similar to what we have going on here in Canada. Now, finally, NHS has also released an interim report regarding gender identity issues in which they assert the following key points. Quote, the rapid increase in the number of children requiring support and the complex case mix means that the current clinical model with a single national provider is not sustainable in the longer term. We need to know more about the population being referred and outcomes. There has not been routine and consistent data collection, which means it is not possible to accurately track the outcomes and pathways that children and young people take through the service. There is lack of consensus and open discussion about the nature of gender dysphoria and therefore about the appropriate clinical response, close quote. Friends, this is great news coming out of the UK, and we can only hope for this kind of rational, clear thinking to make its way over to Canada, though I won't hold my breath for that. Why, you might ask? Well, for example, our federal government is planning on raising the carbon tax, or more accurately, the carbon punishment, by 23% on April 1st of this year. And if they don't understand how basic economics work, then how can we expect them to understand how to deal with people's issues regarding gender? Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but everything is way more expensive. People are very worried about having to choose between heating their home and having enough groceries. And all the while, Canada's carbon footprint is as much as a single grain of sand on the beach when compared to the rest of the world, even when just compared to one country like China or India. Now, some premiers have pushed back, which is good news and shocking, urging our prime tyrant to back off on stealing from Canadians to fund the overbloated federal government. This is from the Counter Signal. Quote, Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe, Ontario Premier Doug Ford, Nova Scotia Premier Tim Houston, New Brunswick Premier Blaine Higgs, PEI Premier Dennis King, and even Newfoundland's Liberal Premier Andrew Fury have all issued statements asking the federal Liberals to pause their planned hike. I continue to stand up for Newfoundlanders and Labradorians against the federal carbon tax, Premier Fury stated. I am now asking Ottawa to pause its planned increase to the carbon tax set for April 1st, as the high cost of living is enough of a burden on families, Premier Smith responded. Alberta stands shoulder to shoulder with people of Newfoundland and Labrador in their opposition to the federal carbon tax, which makes life more unaffordable and hurts families. Premier Blaine took it one step further, saying the tax is crippling New Brunswickers, close quote. The Canadian Taxpayer Federation released ledger polling showing that 69% of Canadians oppose the carbon tax increase coming on April 1st. And if you remove Quebec and BC, where the federal carbon tax isn't directly applied, that number goes up to 72% of Canadians oppose the upcoming tax hike. Now, CTF Federal Director Franco Terrazzano said this, quote, the poll is clear. The vast majority of Canadians across every province and all demographics oppose the upcoming federal carbon tax hike. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau should listen to Canadians and stop hiking this carbon tax, close quote. The problem, of course, is that Justin Trudeau does not govern according to the desires of the people who voted for him. He does whatever he wants in order to remake Canada in his image, in order to ultimately appease the will of our globalist overlords. But the head-scratching award goes to the Toronto Police Services. By encouraging people to actually make it easier for their vehicles to be stolen rather than, oh, I don't know, maybe crack down on crime. Listen to this absolutely Looney Tunes clip from CTV News.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto Police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
So if you heard that, here you have a constable for the Toronto Police Service saying, just leave your car fob accessible. So when someone breaks into the front door of your home, they can just grab the fob and go, avoid a confrontation, let them have your car. That's what's going on. Now, there were absolutely brutal responses on social media and in general to this, I mean, utterly insane suggestion from the Toronto Police Services. So they had no choice but to respond with this on X, quote, an officer at a recent community meeting suggested that people leave their keys in their vehicle in a Faraday bag by the front door. While well-meaning, there are better ways to prevent auto theft-motivated home invasions, close quote. Now, it's worth noting that home invasions and break and enters for auto theft rose 400% in Toronto last year. That's compared to 2022. Auto thefts themselves are up 40% year over year in Toronto. Rather than commit to dealing with this lawlessness, the Toronto Police Service decided to beclown themselves. By the way, if I haven't said this, move out of Toronto because it has become the Marxist utopia hellhole they want it to become. And the mayor will be jacking up property tax any day now. And it is only going to get way worse real fast in Toronto. Burnt coffee is bitter, but do you know what else is bitter? Drinking coffee you purchase from people who hate you and your way of life. Stop buying coffee from people who hate you. Instead, you should buy your coffee from Resistance Coffee. Resistance Coffee, roasting delicious fuel for freedom. So try some Fossil Fuel, a custom blended dark roast for those who enjoy a bold flavor without the burnt aftertaste of communism. Or how about Sugar Happy, a smooth single origin medium roast from Brazil for the truth tellers. Right now in our home, we are currently enjoying some Mischief Makers, and it is a very delicious way to start my day, especially when I come into the studio and we do our shows and we just want to cause a little bit of trouble. So the Mischief Makers helps me to do just that, and it will for you too. Head over to resistancecoffee.com. We are so thrilled to partner with Resistance Coffee so that we can offer our listeners and supporters 10% off your orders at checkout. That's coffee and merch, but you have to use promo code LIBERTY10. That's the word Liberty and the number 10. Head to resistancecoffee.com, promo code LIBERTY10. Get fueled for the resistance today. If you are not buying your coffee from Resistance Coffee, you should be. And if you're not using the promo code, you should be. Now for some legal news. Some good, some bad, and some so absurd. I hope you're actually sitting down so your head doesn't spin off your body and fly into space. That's the madness of some of the legal news we're going to be looking at today. First, the good. In 2021, Derek Sloan, the leader of the Ontario Party, and Pastor Henry Hildebrandt were charged under the Reopening Ontario Act for protesting the COVID mandates at different rallies in the month of May. Now, the charges against both men have been stayed, which is how many, interestingly enough, of the higher profile COVID cases have gone. Charges have just been stayed. Chris Fleury from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom said this, quote, "While my clients would have preferred not to have been charged in the first place, this is an excellent outcome. With these resolutions, prosecutions under the Reopening Ontario Act are thankfully beginning to come to an end. The Justice Center provided lawyers to defend those courageous individuals who received tickets for exercising their charter freedoms," said the JCCF. "One of the most well-known pastors in Ontario, Pastor Hildebrandt, exercised his charter freedoms of expression, association, conscience, religion, and peaceful assembly in the face of provincial laws that violated these fundamental freedoms," close quote. So that is a spot of good news. I mean, they shouldn't have been charged in the first place, but at least they won't have to pay any fines or see this drawn out in court. Now for the not so good legal news, and this also comes from the JCCF. The Supreme Court of Canada has decided not to hear the appeal of the challenge to Manitoba's lockdown restrictions. This is from the JCCF website. Quote, "The leave to appeal application was filed on September 18th, 2023. Five Manitoba churches, a pastor and a deacon asked the Supreme Court of Canada to hear their appeal of the lower court's dismissal of their constitutional challenge to closures of churches and restrictions on outdoor gatherings during COVID lockdowns in late 2020 and 2021. The Manitoba Court of King's Bench ruled that the government's public health officials should not be second-guessed and that the government need not meet a high threshold of providing persuasive evidence to demonstrably justify that violations of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms were reasonable. The Manitoba Court of King's Bench did not order the unsuccessful applicants to pay court costs, finding there to be a significant public interest in having the case adjudicated. In December 2022, the applicants appealed. The appeal was dismissed by the Manitoba Court of Appeal in June 2023, close quote. Now, it's sad that the Supreme Court will not hear this case, but what's most disturbing is the little bit that I read in the middle there, that the government's public health officials should not be second-guessed, like ever. We just do what they say according to the court, and we should never second-guess them. Or that the government doesn't have to meet the high threshold to suspend our charter rights. They don't have to meet that high threshold. This is a decision that's on the books and that the Supreme Court has chosen not to deal with. So the Supreme Court has chosen not to deal with those two issues, that the public health officials should never be second-guessed and the government doesn't have to meet the very high threshold to suspend charter rights. Now, on to the absurd. and this is truly absurd and comical, almost like a Babylon Bee article or something like that. And this has to do with the same Supreme Court that will not hear this case, which would be important if they did. So on March 10th, the Supreme Court of Canada posted this on X, quote, "March 10th, we celebrate International Day of Women Judges, which recognize the importance of the full and equal participation of women at all levels of the judiciary. Achieving gender parity among judges at all levels in Canada is a step in the right direction towards having greater diversity on the bench. Canadians need to see themselves reflected in their judiciary because that builds trust in our democratic institutions. Hashtag International Day of Women Judges," close quote. So, I mean, they got excoriated for this on X, and rightfully so. But if you're paying attention to this, our Supreme Court just openly admitted that it is a woke activist court concerned with social justice and gender Marxism, not actual justice, or having the most qualified people serve on the Supreme Court. This is the highest judicial body in our country, people. Some of us, including yours truly, might be appealing cases before these ghouls for having committed alleged acts of hate speech as defined by the progressives. This is insanity. But it gets even more asinine than that, if you can believe it, because that same Supreme Court, made up of about 50% women, celebrating International Women's Day, is the same court to do this. This is from the National Post. Quote, "In a decision published Friday, Justice Sheila Martin wrote that a trial judge's use of the word a woman may have been unfortunate and engendered confusion. Martin does not specify why the word woman is confusing, but the next passage in her decision refers to the complainant as a person with a vagina. Notably, not one person in the entire case is identified as transgender, and the complainant is referred to throughout as a she." Although Martin never specifies what she finds objectionable about the term a woman, one possible interpretation is that she took issue with the generalization. In other words, that the trial judge confusingly seemed to be saying that all women would correctly interpret the feeling of vaginal penetration. In my respectful view, the statement "a woman" was merely a reflection of the trial judge's reasoning as opposed to reliance on an improper generalization, she wrote, closed quote. I don't even know how you navigate that. I don't know how a person can live in a world where that kind of cognitive dissonance essentially splits them into two. Because on the one hand, we celebrate women, but on the other hand, we don't know what women are. So the more insane, absurd, and clownish Canada becomes, the more necessary it becomes for us to make sure our lives and our homes are totally different from the world outside. As you love and obey Christ, the goal is to see the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives and in our homes. So the world is full of chaos. Our homes must be filled with peace. The world is sad and confused, and our homes must be filled with goodness and joy. The world is full of hatred and division. Our homes must be filled with kindness, gentleness, and love. The world is full of anxiety, worry, and impulsivity. Our homes must be filled with patience and self-control. Our world hates God. Our homes must be filled with the faithfulness to God and to one another. And so ask the Spirit of God to bear this fruit in your life. Let them grow in the good soil of prayer, and let them be bathed in the daily exposure to the light of the Word of God. Well, there you have it, friends. You're all up to date. Again, head over to resistancecoffee.com. Buy some good coffee today. Use that promo code LIBERTY10. That's the word Liberty and the number 10 to get 10% off your purchase. Also, head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit and register for our Politics in the Pulpit conference today. At 3 locations, seats are limited. You are going to want to be there. Until next time, Galatians 5:1. Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week, and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.